Good morning again. Oh, is everybody still sleeping? It's a little later. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello, hello. So I'm wondering, do you know the expression, garbage in, garbage out? Yeah, someone said it with me, right? Garbage in, garbage out. It's really a computer term, a form of technology term that we talk about, and it's meant to warn us, right, that what we take in will affect what comes out. So carefully select what you read, the movies that you watch, the friends with whom you associate, and the television programs that are on your TV. For the danger is that you will become what you see and you hear and you associate with. Have you ever had a bad dream after watching a really scary movie, a horror film perhaps?
Yes.
Correct, right? Yeah. I'm wondering which movie. What? Yeah, it, right? So what we watch sort of becomes a part of our self. We're taking it in to ourself. So whether it's good or whether it's scary and bad, it becomes a part of us, whether we like it or not. So another phrase is, you are what you eat. We hear that a lot, right? You are what you eat. And the last several weeks, we've been talking about bread, right? So you are what you eat. We're not talking about bread this morning as much as we are talking about sort of the traditions and the rituals surrounding around the meal of what we're doing. Jesus is having this dialogue and this discussion with his followers about the tradition, and the hand washing is what comes up. It's a strange thing, because when you think about it, who has to wash their hands, right? Well, it had become law. If you didn't wash your hands, whether or not they had just been washed after you used the restroom, you need to come back and wash them again. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a part of the ritual when you sit down, and if it doesn't happen, then you're breaking the rules. Well, I think the crux of what Jesus is saying here is that it doesn't matter your outward actions, what they are. If what's inside your heart and inside your soul is dirty, doesn't matter. If it's dirty, it's dirty. What he's talking about here is your inner faith, your inner self, the spirit working within us, and your inner feelings, your emotions, your thoughts. One of the things I remember really clearly about my recent training with Pastor Jeff about how to care for those suffering with PTSD is something that Chaplain Steve said. He said that if you're uncomfortable or if you're fake or if you're just pretending you know something, be careful because a soldier is going to sniff you out and know. Don't pretend. Don't fake it. In a way, it's better to be wrong and to be honest than to act smart. It's about what's on the inside. Authenticity, honesty are necessary ways of being, I think, for all places of our lives, not just when we're caring for particular people, but within who we are in all times, whether it's in our daily lives or on Sunday morning. One of the gifts I've received by having friends who are not church people, some of them never church people, some of them just deciding as adults not to be religious at all, and also my husband, who was new-ish to the tradition, is that it helped me to develop a unique sense of awareness of why we're doing and what we're doing. And it's because our religiosity sometimes is seen as very strange from the outside. Those of us who have grown up in the tradition, in either the Lutheran liturgical tradition or yet another that seems familiar to ours, it may not seem so strange. But if you're experiencing it for the first time, like my husband, you might ask some really poignant questions. Like, why do you wear those funny clothes? Right? Or why do you follow a cross around in circles? Right? If you're looking at us from the outside, you may go, what are they doing? It's similar to the conversation we had about Jesus saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's bizarre if you're not a part of the crowd who sort of has experienced it. So to those questions from Michael and also some of my friends, I could have taken some serious offense. I could have said, what do you mean you're questioning a part of who I am? This is what I know. This is how I am. What do you mean it seems weird or wrong? And I have to admit, at times it was difficult to say, oh, right, it is a little bizarre. It is strange from the outside. But instead of just taking it as criticism, I got to critically look at why I'm doing what I'm doing. This morning we heard Jesus being confronted by the heavy hitters, if you will. Those who were really high up in rank, those Pharisees and scribes coming from Jerusalem who are really questioning him and accusing him. And these accusations could have been serious and really major. Here he is, not even really on the road to Jerusalem himself yet, and he's already getting himself into trouble. Some of those who were observing this incident could have said, oh, Jesus is totally out of his element. He's completely out of his league. He's not trained as a Pharisee or a scribe. He is just battling with the big dogs. But Jesus isn't necessarily, trying to say the law is bad. Jesus doesn't think the law and the traditions need to go away altogether, but I think he's trying to get back to the original intent of the law, the why something is in place. The why is more important to Jesus than the how something is done. I think Jesus wanted his hearers to know that their Jewish tradition supports the inner faith that we're talking about. For he quoted from the prophet Isaiah. Did you catch that this morning? He quoted from Isaiah, and he said, these people honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. So here he is with the scribes and the Pharisees, these big dogs, and he says, I know scripture. I know tradition. I know what the prophet said. The prophet warned us way back then, if we're doing something but our hearts are not right, it's dirty and wrong. He says in his own way, that's hypocrisy. Stop pretending to be something you are not and you have no intention of being. He's not trying to get rid of the law. He's in a way our first or earliest reformer of the law and tradition. He's trying to get followers to see that the law is evolving, that it's changing. He's bringing new life. The rituals, they shouldn't limit, but they should rather enhance God's way in the world and in those who are participating in their lives. The bottom line about the law is that it was originally given as a way and a means of instruction to help people share the love of Jesus, or the love of neighbor, and later of Jesus. If we are a church, as a church are concerned about evangelism and of outreach and making sure that new people who have not yet known the love of God through Jesus, if we're concerned about getting the word to them, then so every so often we too need to examine why we're doing what we're doing. Is what we are doing in our own personal lives and as a full community of faith together, is it pointing to God? Or is it just ritual and tradition? Jesus is basically saying, don't get stuck on what has been or what always will be. We're not here for the sake of just doing things the way they've always been done. He's saying we're here for the sake of love. Period. End of story. We're here for the sake of love. We're here to do what is needed in order to be drawn in closer and deeper relationship with God. And our actions are feeding that relationship. And even more, our actions should be feeding the love to others, being welcoming and inviting to others along the way. So my friends, it's about the inner faith, right? It's about our inner selves, not just the outward actions. If I had told you that a local pastor one night was coming out of a notoriously risque bar with his arm around some of the other drinkers singing loud songs, what would you think? You'd raise an eyebrow or two, right? Yeah, you'd wonder what he was up to. You'd think, what church does he serve? Well, what if I told you he was wearing his clerics and was singing Amazing Grace? Would you think a little differently, perhaps? That pastor's motivation was to witness to Jesus Christ, to share the love of God and meet the people where they were at, not just to join them in the revelry. Perhaps you were at the installation service and you were chuckling and giggling when Karen Castro was handing me the beer stein. Right? And perhaps you didn't get to hear what she said because we laughed at the beer stein. We thought it was really funny. But I want you to hear what we said at my installation. Karen read, "You have been called among us to be the good news of Jesus Christ within the wider community. May you help us, not just me. May you help us all to attend to the creation outside the walls of these buildings. Receive this beer stein as a symbol of our presence with God's people in the pub, the coffee shop, on the streets of Honolulu, or wherever it else is that you may be called. The difference of all that we do is our inner motivation. All evil things, they come from within, but so do all good things. An outward act can be ambiguous, and therefore we must look as God does upon our inner motivation, the why." In seminary, I often heard the phrase, "Christian faith is an inside job." And I didn't really get it right away. Christian faith is an inside job. So I was sort of thinking, like, we all get it. We're all insiders, right? But that's not it at all. It's an inside job. An inside job of our hearts and our minds and our souls. The Apostle Paul encouraged the Christians at Philippi with these words that I am also going to leave for you today. Paul said, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about all of these things." Amen.